Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. My name is Bodie, and I am your host. And on today's episode, I got a chance to sit down with Mullen Automotive CEO David Michery and VP of Marketing Jason Putnam. And we sat down to talk about commercial vehicles as it pertains to EVs. Before we start the interview, I should let you know that David is the person speaking on mic, and Jason, you'll hear him occasionally. He doesn't really chime in that much. He's off mic. And with that, let's go ahead and begin the interview. David, you are the chairman and CEO of Mullen Automotive, and today we are going to talk about everything that, or maybe not everything, a lot of the things that Mullen's doing in terms of electric vehicles. We're going to really hit hard the commercial vehicle side of things. Do you want to start off by just kind of giving a history of Mullen Automotive and maybe just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So let's start with, I spent a considerable amount of time in the entertainment industry and decided after a successful career that I wanted to try something different, and always had a passion for vehicles. Still do. So decided to open up my own electric vehicle company and acquired various different assets that had spent a lot of money to try to get an electric vehicle into the market, COTA specifically, back in 2011 and 12, and then Mullen Motor Cars, and then consolidated that and formed a company called Mullen Technologies, which is primarily my vision for it was a technology company that happened to have an automotive component, and then, spun out the automotive division and took that public as Mullen Automotive in 2021. Was that right, Jason? 21?
Correct.
Yes.
November.
Yeah, November of 2021 on NASDAQ Capital Markets. And, we're very proud of what we've accomplished. We got hit with COVID like everybody else, and that was a very interesting time. And then, the market decided to turn around for the EV space during the current administration. And so there's been a lot of volatility, not just in Mullen, but in the entire space as a whole. We wanted to be different, and we wanted to do things that we felt would benefit the masses, and we looked at where we felt we could be the most competitive. And so we went out to develop our commercial segment, and we focused our attentions on specifically the commercial space in class one and class three. And so we're proud to say today that we are the first mover, and we have the advantage in class one and class three in the commercial space. We're selling product. We fully homologated and certified our vehicles for sale in the U.S. Not a lot of guys can do that. We did that in a very short order. We acquired ALMS, Electric Last Mile, out of bankruptcy, and got a real nice facility out of Mishawaka, Indiana, that used to be the Hummer facility owned by GM. So, you know, we felt that we had the tools to scale to whatever capacity we wanted to. And then we acquired a facility in Tunica, Mississippi, and then developed that out to be the home for commercial vehicle production for Class 1 and Class 3, where today we produce Class 1 and Class 3 vehicles. And they're on the road being sold to customers, and we're excited about the things that we've done. We don't just have one vehicle. We have two vehicles that are fully homologated and available for sale in the U.S. So, and no competition. So we got a wide open market where everybody else is struggling to compete at the consumer level. We have a wide open market for us. So we're pretty excited about that.
Can you just kind of break down the different classes? Because not everybody's going to be familiar. And even I have to go back and look every time I talk about commercial EVs, where what type of vehicles fall in each class as far as commercial?
Well, real simple. So basically, ours is a Class 1 van. It's a high-speed van, small little van, you know, used for last-mile delivery. Your typical, you know, similar to your Ford Transits, the gas version of those vehicles. And then our Class 3 is our 10,000-pound greater, our greater vehicle, which is, you know, a cab-forward truck. And, you know, you could configure those to do anything, really. You could put, you know, flatbeds on them. You could put boxes, you know, containers. I mean, the sky's the limit, endless possibilities. So the idea here is whatever your use case is, you could have that vehicle sent to a an upfitter, and then they would upfit it with specific uses. Like, for example, if you were a utility and you wanted it for utility purposes, your upfitter would then cater that, you know, cater it to your use case. So that lends the most amount of flexibility, and we've been having a tremendous amount of success with it. Everybody seems to really like it, and it's doing real well for us. So we're very excited about that. The Class 1 also is small enough to maneuver in small areas, and it's perfect for last mile delivery. So if you're some type of a transport carrier and you're, you know, dealing with any types of goods, you're dealing with, call it, cold storage, hot storage, you're dealing with parts delivery, package delivery, using it for gardening, you're using it from a horticulture perspective. It has endless possibilities. It fills a void that Ford and GM left. They left the Class 1 space when obviously there was a push for electrification. And the government is giving mandates on when companies are going to have to be fully compliant. So rather than become compliant in those segments, they've decided to pull out, which left it wide open for us. We identified that and said, well, that's where we're going to go. We knew that the segment generated hundreds of thousands of vehicles per year in sales previously for the ICE vehicles. So we figured even if we captured a small percentage of that from a electric perspective, then that would be a very substantial number. So that's the path we chose. We're not out there trying to compete with guys in the consumer space. I think that's a mess right now, and we want to stay away from it. So that's kind of what we're doing. And lastly, we actually make a profit. We make a margin on our gross profit margin on per vehicle sold. So we're not. It doesn't cost us $300,000 to sell a $60,000 vehicle. So, you know, we actually make a gross profit margin per vehicle sold. So I tell people any multiple of zero is always going to be zero. So with us, as we scale, so does our margins. So we're excited that not only do we're in the right space, but we're making money per vehicle sold.
Do you have numbers that you're willing to share on how many you've sold of each of these units right about?
We've put out PRs. I can refer you to public disclosures that we've made in the past. We've shipped, I think, a total of, Jason, $17 million worth of vehicles in the last a couple months. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice. You mentioned when you were talking about the company earlier that you wanted to have a tech company with an automotive component. What are some of the core technologies that you're focused on for this?
we're developing battery technology. I'm determined to bring solid state polymer to the forefront. You know, we started this a long time ago. When we started it, people didn't think it was legit. They thought that how could a small company advance science? Well, you know, it doesn't take billions of dollars. It takes knowledge and know-how. You can't put a price on knowledge and know-how. So over time, you know, we've done what we said we were going to do. And we announced not too long ago, I think in the last couple of weeks, correct me, Jason, if I'm wrong, we took the first solid state polymer cell and pack and put it into our class one vehicle. And we're out driving it around. We started our testing. How's that?
That's right? Great.
That's a game changer.
Can you tell me more about what that means, solid state and polymer?
Well, I mean, typically, right, it's a, you know, you have a solid electrolyte. So, you know, you have a cathode, you have an anode, and you have an electrolyte. So you're talking about a solid electrolyte. Plus, you're talking about you're not utilizing, you know, dangerous rare earth materials, right? You know, you're not using the cobalts, the magnesiums, you know, you're using basically safe, right? Basically, what a solid state polymer is, it's a polymer. And you're not, you know, so you have a safe cell that won't ignite and catch on fire, and it's almost indestructible. And then when it comes time to dispose of it, it's not considered dangerous goods, so it's easy to dispose of. And when it gets near end of life, you could repurpose it into other areas that don't have the demands that vehicles have or commercial vehicles have. So it opens up the possibilities for second life use. But what's most exciting about it is the safety aspect of it and the fact that it degradation, right? So if you take a standard lithium iron phosphate cell, which everybody uses, and you look at that chemistry and you look at degradation over, like, let's say 5,000 cycles, it looks like it goes right off of a cliff, right? You take ours, solid state polymer cell, and we've shown this over so many cycles, call it over 10,000, 15,000 cycles. It's just a straight line. I mean, there's no degradation, no loss. So not only do you get longer life, you get more power. It's safe. You could take a gun and blow a hole through it, and it's going to work. You could take a torch. You could take a torch and literally put it right up to the cell and burn a hole through it. It's not going to ignite. You don't have the issues that you have with conventional chemistry, right? The reason why you have issues with conventional chemistry is you have flammable electrolytes and you have very dangerous, for example, magnesium. I mean, just take magnesium on its own. I mean, that thing will light up real quick. So the point I'm trying to make here is just what you're using in your chemistry.
Do you want to talk about the chemistry and form factor of this? Is it blade? Is it cell? What are we doing?
So we use the pouch, and they run in series. And currently, per kilowatt hour, I believe we're running somewhere around 80, the equivalent of 80 kilowatt hours versus 42 kilowatt hours in the conventional chemistry. So the form factor is your standard, metal housing built to prevent water intrusion. You know, it has to be sturdy enough to protect against crash. So, you know, there's nothing special about the form factor, what I call the enclosure. It's your standard metal enclosure. What's important is what's inside the enclosure, right? The idea is what you can put inside in that enclosure to give you the greatest amount of potential in the form of energy.
That kind of leads me to my next question and kind of the company's aspirations in terms of EV charging, because I know you're doing a lot with commercial vehicles. I would imagine you're working with fleets. Do you have anything to offer fleets in terms of EV charging, or does that go through a third party?
Well, we use a third party, but we also have a very sophisticated telemetrics system that allows these fleets to track their vehicles and monitor them. We're trying to incorporate sophisticated or intelligent charging. We own our own battery pack facility. If you follow our public announcements, we announced a few months ago that we opened up our Fullerton, maybe 6 months ago, we opened up our Fullerton, California battery facility where we do now pack production. So we're also now working on taking chemistry. So we're going to go from the cell to the pack, right to the vehicle, and then we're using sophisticated technology to progress to other form factors for other types of industries. So again, it becomes a vertical profit center for us. It's our Mall and Advanced Energy Operations in Fullerton, California. We acquired the Romeo Power assets, and we took those in, with the assets that we had our Monrovia Mall and Energy facility, consolidated those, and are now working towards removing the dependency of foreign entities as it relates to PACs. So what I don't want to have happen is that, let's say in the near future, or let's say something happens on a global level and it prohibits American companies from being able to bring in foreign battery packs, then basically they're out of business unless they are able to adjust and produce them here. We've taken that initiative now, today, to produce packs here in America. And we're also looking at producing cells on top of packs. So we go from the cell to the pack to the vehicle, and then we can configure into other form factors for other industries. I can't get into too many specifics because these are, this is information that hasn't already been publicly disclosed. What I'm going over with are all related to PRs that have been put out related to our battery operations and our aspirations as it relates to advancing science, as it relates to battery and electrification.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. And then we were talking a little bit offline about the power truck, which I think is really interesting. Can you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to tell you how that came about. So we decided we were going to take our vehicles on tour. And we started that about a year ago. And the biggest problem we experienced was charging. How the hell are we going to charge them quick enough to allow enough people to be able to experience, you know, these vehicles? And our group came up with the great idea. We developed and commissioned a vehicle that we call Power Up. And this vehicle is a mobile charging platform that offers level 2 and level 3 DC fast charge. So basically, we could, Jason, how many ports for level 2?
Vehicle does, so four level 2 charge ports. That will do roughly around 25 kilowatts each, and then two DC fast chargers that will do. You could do one individual vehicle up to 100.
David, welcome to the show.
On a single charge, or you can do two simultaneously at roughly 50 to 60 kilowatts. So it's all dependent on what, you know, what's in the vehicle already, what charge status is in the vehicle, capacity's there. And but I've seen the vehicle go up with two vehicles up to around 60 kilowatts, charging two vehicles at once on DC fast charging.
So the nice thing about it, think about this. So we wanted to be able to charge a portfolio of vehicles as fast as we could so we could get customers in the vehicles and on the track. So we came up with a solution that brought the power to the vehicle, not, you know, having to take the vehicle to the power. Well, it was a hit. We started to get a tremendous amount of response. People asking us, how do they get one? How do they, we got municipalities. We got, businesses, individuals, everybody under the sun asking about how can they get one? So we thought, wow, something happened here. And with that, Jason came to me and said, hey, some of the people want to know, would we be willing to partner up with them and lease them the power up vehicles and let them go out there and form a national network of service providers to do our emergency response for all of the electric vehicles every day that run out of charge that have to get towed to wherever, that they can come out and give them an immediate fast charge because we have the capability to deliver it on demand. So, Jason, you want to elaborate a little bit about how this idea came about?
Yeah, exactly that. It was our own internal use case that we had, which, again, we went out to over the last 2 years. We've done close to 30 locations, mostly large stadium parking lots. This last time around in 2023, we did close to 15 national racetracks. And in all those cases, there's really not a solution in place for fast charging. The vehicle is completely capable. This last time we went out, we had 12 vehicles that we charged nonstop over the course of 3 days. And we used that one power up mobile charging vehicle to satisfy the charging needs for all of our vehicles. So the use case moving forward, it was our internal use case that we had. And now from that, we found that there is a pretty strong business case for a mobile charging solution out in the market. And that's something that we're actively working on right now.
I want to get to your commercial efforts, but let's talk a little bit about your passenger car, your crossover EV5.
Yeah. So, that's my baby. It's what it was my dream, and all of the things that I wanted to do with that car now have come to fruition. What I'm doing with the vehicle, because of how the consumer space has been reacting, I want to mitigate the cost related to getting a consumer vehicle into the marketplace. And I'm going to build this vehicle for low volume production, and I'm going to have it come out in Europe in 2025 first, right? It'll be the Mullen 5 RS, the high performance vehicle with the center locking wheels, carbon ceramic rotors, 0 to 60 and, 1.9 seconds, 200 miles an hour plus in top speed, all of the goodies. We debuted that at CES. That vehicle is going to become available for sale in Europe. And then we'll see how the market reacts, and we'll see how the U.S. is doing from a consumer perspective in a couple of years. And if the stars all line up, we'll bring it to the U.S. Otherwise, we're going to sell it in Europe under low volume numbers. When I say low volume, I mean 500 units. And we're selling them. Jason, what's the price point on these?
Not completely set just yet, but we are looking around $350,000 MSRP. So you are looking at a high performance.
Hypercar. Yeah, I mean, it'll be, I don't know if you saw the car at CES. I mean, the car is it's beautiful. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It's all carbon fiber, forged carbon bucket seats, everything about being light and being fast. And it looks good. So we know it's a hit. People love it, and people have put big reservations in for it. We're just going to play it safe because we don't want to spend a lot of money right now here in the U.S. What we want to do is focus on commercial, because we know that we have, first advantage over everybody else, get that market situated. In the same token, we don't want to lose sight of what we built with the Mullen 5 RS, and we want to get that out into Europe, let that vehicle create interest, mitigate cost, be very frugal, show that it's a hit, that people want it, let that car work its way back to the U.S. and become a hit by demand.
So the Mullen 5 RS, just for clarity here, that's the high performance.
That is the high performance vehicle we debuted at CES. Isn't it beautiful?
And the Mullen 5 is the around $55,000 MSRP.
That's right.
Affordable version.
Yeah, yeah. You know, look, I think that the more affordable version right now, in my opinion, is looking at the market and looking at the segment right now. I don't want to get caught up into that race. I think that they're all in a race to zero. So when you get the majors like Ford and GM pulling out, you know, that should tell you something. And we're very fortunate that we're in a space. We gambled correctly. We went after commercial when nobody else, you know, thought that it made sense. And it made a lot of sense because now we're the only game in town and we're capitalizing on that. So we're going to go it's all risk mitigation. We want to hedge, against any potential downside, and we want to mitigate the anticipation. So we want to be very smart here in a world where right now there's a lot of uncertainty. How we operate our business is going to be predicated on the market, meaning how the consumers look at the consumer space, how they look at the commercial space. Right now, they're really receiving us extremely well on the commercial side.
Yeah, let's get to the commercial space. I was really interested to see that you bought a majority stake in Bollinger.
That's right.
And not just the commercial side. I was talking to Jason about this a little bit earlier, but like the entire company. So you have a majority stake in the commercial and the just like the passenger. I guess they're more of marketing themselves as a work truck or a farm truck. But why Bollinger? What was it about Bollinger that made you think, oh, this is a company we got to pick up?
Honestly, I believe they're going to be a generational company. And my vision is proving to become reality. We're in Indiana right now, one of the biggest truck shows in America, and they're doing extremely well, taking orders like crazy for their product. They got an amazing class 4 through 6, and they got a B1 and B2. To me, my focus and goal is, you call it a farm vehicle. I knew that before I bought the company, I knew that the Army was looking at their product. I mean, the military, it's fully documented. You go to YouTube and you can see it. I knew that this could be the successor to the H1, which has been in service for God knows 30 plus years. I felt that what was happening there at Bollinger was special from the commercial side, and I call it the military side. I'm not looking at it as a farm truck. I'm looking at it as one. I have one focus, military, right? Government use. So outside of commercial, B4 through B6, by the way, their B4 through 6 is an amazing product. We're going to see that real soon this year. They're taking orders. They're having success with it. It is, to me, the Mercedes-Benz of the electric truck business. I think that they have that quality and that integrity. That vehicle's made here in Michigan. So I'm excited about Bollinger. Why I bought Bollinger? Because I believe Bollinger is going to be a very special generational type company. I believe in Robert Bollinger. He's a great executive. I believe in the people there, and I felt it made sense. So we purchased controlling interest in it.
For sure. What kind of technology did Bollinger have that you were able to kind of roll into some of the other things you were doing?
Well, so let's just talk about the B1 and B2. Their portal hubs. You talk about ability to climb, not only climb like an H1, but it can go really fast, and it has a massive amount of torque and the ability to use lightweight armory on it to be able to have that in the battlefield and not be like the H1 where they had to take big, gigantic pieces of steel and weld them to the bottom of H1s because they found out on these improvised devices, they were blowing up and cutting these vehicles in half. You know, they learned that during the Gulf War. So now, you know, they're in a position to be able to, learn from this and incorporate a lot of that technology into lightweight alloys applied to the B1 and B2.
And if anybody doesn't know, the B1 is like the pickup truck and a B2 is more like an SUV. To me, it looks like a Land Rover, but I could see the comparison to like old. Like,
what's a class three?
The non-fancy Land Rovers.
Well, to be clear, the B1 and B2 are class three trucks. So that should tell you all you need to know. And the factory that we purchased from General, you know, the factory that was the GM facility that built the H2 built a class three vehicle. So it's primed for the B1, B2. It literally, the paint shop, everything is set up for a class three vehicle. And our Bollinger B1 and B2 are class three vehicles. I thought it was like a marriage made in heaven.
Nice. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about Bollinger. I got two more questions for you real quick. I don't talk about commercial vehicles all that often on this show. So what are some of the challenges when it comes to producing a commercial vehicle for fleets, especially when it comes to EVs? I know I've talked to somebody from Cox Automotive and we talked about the challenges of charging. So I think the audience is pretty familiar with that. But what are these folks looking at in terms of, like, they're looking at it from dollars and cents standpoint, not from how great the car looks or the vehicle looks. They're looking at it, how is this going to save me money in the long run? What are some of the challenges you have to overcome to sell these vehicles to the fleets?
Well, when you're new to the market, you gotta overcome the risk that a lot of these well-established organizations don't want to get in bed with a company that if they feel won't be there to support the vehicle. So service. Also, how do they know if the vehicle is going to perform as stated, right? Until, you get it in your possession. Do you want to be the first guy to do that? No one ever wants to be the first guy. So the risks were, the unknowns, right? It's not a vehicle that people have seen before. So the toughest challenge was to get it into circulation. Once it got into circulation, if people like it, then word of mouth travels quickly. And so now, we have that. You get a lot, we get a lot of people that including the U.S. government that are very interested in our product. I mean, that's public information. Everybody knows we filed for mass transformation. So I'm not telling you anything that nobody doesn't already know.
Sure. And I'm not trying to get any sort of gotcha or inside information. This is a very friendly show. So this is my final question. And we've touched on some of this a little bit over the interview, but I really want to know, where do you see Mullen going in the next 2 years? And then what are some of those challenges that you're going to face in those 2 years?
I want Mullen to be the biggest commercial electric vehicle manufacturer on planet Earth. I want to be the 10,000 pound gorilla. The challenges are going to be adoption. The challenges are going to be how the world, if everyone could play nice with each other, meaning I'm an American company. I built my products here in America. I'm hoping that we're not going to have issues outside America where I can't get my product to expand on a global level. So I'm hoping that, everyone plays nice in the next 4 years, that there's mass adoption to our commercial vehicles. And I believe that we'll be able to do something real special here. And it's technology, too. We're not just progressing, electric commercial trucks and vans. We're progressing technology. We're adapting technology to the vehicle. So not just a solid-state polymer pack or a cell, but sophisticated over-the-air technology, telecommunications, AI, self-learning battery management systems that learn, these vehicles and learn how these drivers for all of these big fleets operate, things that help them become more efficient, that help us create a better product. I think the sky's the limit for us.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate both of you.
Thanks,
buddy.
I want to thank David and Jason for coming on and chatting. That was a lot of fun. If you are interested in finding out more about what Mullen is doing, you can go to their website, which is www.mullenusa.com. I'll also put a link in the show notes. All right, everybody, that is it for our show today. If you want to email me, you can do so, Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter at 918digital. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you next Tuesday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.